Buddy, welcome back to our shiur. Nice to see everyone once again. Just want to remind everybody who is here that this Shabbos is a very exciting, historic Shabbos here in the Young Israel, and I hope everyone will join us as we have the opportunity to have both my father together with Rav Asher Weiss as well. Anyone who wants to have the schedule, you can look outside. We have plenty of printed copies. You can take one, invite your friends, and on Motzei Shabbos we have a kumsitz together with Eitan Katz and both my father and Rav Asher Weiss as well. So it's a very exciting Shabbos, a very uplifting and inspiring Shabbos. This evening shiur is generously sponsored by Joe and Ruth Schwartz, Lezecher Nishmas Mordechai Ben Yosef. His yard site was this past Sunday on Ches Elul. The truth is, I don't really know who these people are. They send me emails from time to time that they listen to the shiurim online, and they said that they wanted to dedicate today's shiurim in memory of their father. But I hope someday to meet them and have the opportunity. Lahagdil Torah ulaha adira. So this evening shiur is something that is not just a question that I got, but is also extremely relevant to all of us. There was a high school boy who reached out to me this week, and he said, you know, during Chodesh Elul we add not only blowing of the shofar, but also we add the paragraph of L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi. And he asked me, what is this all about? Why do we add this paragraph in Tehillim? There are so many beautiful things that we could say throughout the month of Elul, and what is unique, what is special about this, and why is it specifically designed to be said during the month of Elul? So the truth is, it's a really good question, and it's something that really doesn't date back all too long ago. It begins with the Sefer Mate Ephraim. Mate Ephraim has in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Siman Tav Kuf Pei Aleph, he writes, Noagim Bemedinas Elul, in our community we have the practice that we say, from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, every morning and every evening, L'David Hashem Ori. And then he adds on and he says, we don't stop at Yom Kippur, we extend it all the way till Shmini Atzeres, and this is quoted the halacha in the Mishnah Berurah. Now, what is this all about? Why do we arbitrarily choose this paragraph in Tehillim? So the answer is, on the bottom of the page in the Mate Ephraim, there's a sefer called Elef LaMate, where he gives interpretations to what is found in the halacha on top, and he says, this is based on a medrash. The medrash writes that when we say, L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi, Ori is actually a reference to Rosh Hashanah, and the word Yishi, my salvation, my redemption, that is a reference to Yom HaKippurim. And therefore, since it's describing Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and then after that we talk about Ki Yitzpineni B'Suko, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hover over David HaMelech, and he will make sure to protect him, so that reminds us of Sukkis, and therefore the Elef LaMata writes, that is why we have chosen this Perek in Tehillim in particular, to be said during the month of Elul. Okay, so that's where it comes from. Now the truth is, it's very interesting, because the Medrash writes, just as if we all understand, why Ori, when we talk about light, that means Rosh Hashanah. Yishi, my salvation, refers to Yom Kippur. How is Rosh Hashanah a light to us? And how is Yom Kippur a salvation? So Yom Kippur makes a lot of sense. We are redeemed from all of our problems on Yom Kippur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mochel avonoseim shel Yisrael. And therefore, Yom Kippur is the day of Yeshua, it's the day of salvation. But when you talk about Ori Zu Rosh Hashanah, when you talk about Rosh Hashanah being the light for us, what exactly does it mean that Rosh Hashanah is the day of light? In which way, in what capacity, does it serve for us as a light? That is a very good question that is asked by many of the Svarim to try to explain this medrash. And I saw a beautiful insight from Rav Shach. Rav Shach writes in one of his Sichas Musar, he explains as follows. And he tells us, Hinei Adam Chai Shana Shlema. Imagine a person lives a whole year. V'yadua kiba asakim, when I'm running a business. So anybody here who runs a business understands that you have to have very careful records and bookkeeping for everything that goes on, for all the buying, for all the selling, for all the inventory. If you don't keep a careful accounting of everything, then you might think the business is doing incredibly well, and the truth is that your business is really failing, that you're really losing money every day, and you're just not keeping track of what's going on. Yesh sefer shekosvim bo kol hotza v'achnasa. You write down all the merchandise, all the produce, what comes in, what goes out. V'yesh cheshbon barur, there's a very detailed and meticulous accounting of everything that goes on in the business, in the store. And he says, let's say somebody would run a business without that. Let's say somebody would run a business with no bookkeeper and with no accountant, and just assume that everybody's telling the truth and everybody's buying what they're supposed to, and all of their workers are doing all the work that they're supposed to do. There's no checking in, there's no checking out, and there's nobody accounting for anything. What will happen? Writes Rav Shach, you're going to have a completely unstable product. You're going to have a company that is completely uncertain of where it's holding, of how valuable it is, or perhaps how devalued it is. It's very hard to keep track of it if nobody's really keeping track at all. Now, he writes, what happens is, the same thing when you think about, let's say, a court case here in our understanding of what a court case is. So imagine somebody, one day, Rahman al-Litzlan is arrested by the police. They come to his house, they say, you're under arrest. He says, okay, for what? Well, we can't say. You can't say, so you're putting me into jail, you're putting me into prison. I have to defend myself, but I don't even know how to defend myself. What am I defending myself for? What have I done wrong? We can't share it with you. He comes to court, he shows up, he doesn't even know what kind of lawyer he's supposed to hire. Is it a criminal case? Is it a civil case? He doesn't know what it is. He doesn't even know what kind of professional to bring along with him. He doesn't know what to prepare in his defense because he doesn't even know what he's talking about. That obviously is something that would never happen in the legal system as we know it. Everything in the legal system is very precise. There is no room for ambiguity at all. Everything is very clear. And when we talk about somebody who's given the opportunity to be able to defend themselves, they have to know exactly what they're being charged for, and therefore they have the ability to then go ahead and try to defend themselves. Now, writes Rav Shach, Hinei anu magiim le Rosh Hashanah. So we are about to come to Rosh Hashanah. Now, what is Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is the time, Mechol bayi olam, yavrun lefanecha kivnei maron. So the Gemara has three interpretations. What exactly does it mean? Something serious is going on in Rosh Hashanah. It is a Yom HaDin. What's interesting is the Psukim never describe it as such. The Psukim never say that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin. But be it as it may, we know that we talk about it in the davening, and we assume that Rosh Hashanah is considered to be in some way a Yom HaDin. Now, Mevakshem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask the Ribono Shel Olam, Sheyachos V'Yirachem Aleinu. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of us, to have Rachmanos on us. V'chima Asisa, Shemipnei Zeka'es Atam Mevakesh. Says Rav Shach, what did I do wrong that I have to defend myself? It's like showing up to court and I'm being told to defend myself, but I don't know what the charge is. So what did I do? Ulai bechlal in lechat sarach levakesh. Maybe you lived a perfect year and everything's just going exactly as it should and everything will continue to be so in the future and you have nothing to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about. There's nothing to discuss. Ulai atot tzadik. And therefore he says what we need is a moment of clarity. We need the opportunity to be clear exactly what it is that we're supposed to negotiate for in Rosh Hashanah. What am I talking about? What am I being charged with? And what is it that I need to defend? What is it that is in the balance? What is it that I'm not sure about? What is uncertain about the coming year that maybe I need to negotiate for? And therefore, says Rav Shach, we have the opportunity to have a few weeks in advance of Rosh Hashanah to give ourselves that perspective of light, to give ourselves the clarity in the business. What's happening in my business? What's happening in my store? What have I bought? What have I sold? And if my company is going downhill, let me try to figure out why. Is it because the merchandise that I'm buying is not good enough? Is it because things are coming in late? Is it because the customer service is not good enough? What's the reason why things are not going well in the business the way they used to? Every business owner would do the same. And therefore, says Rav Shach, every human being has the right and the ability and the responsibility to do the same in their own lives as well. To look at everything in your business, in your life, which is your entity, and to figure out what is it that I need to negotiate for, because what is it that is lacking, what is it that is good? Let me just get a clear accounting with the bookkeeper of what it is that's happening in my life. Says Rav Shach, that's why we refer to Rosh Hashanah as Ori, as a light, because it gives us the opportunity to have light in our lives and to regain a perspective of what it is that's really going on and to take stock of where life is holding and where the business is at. So that's really based on the Medrash, where the Medrash says, Ori zu Rosh Hashanah, v'yishi zu Yom HaKippurim. The Panim Yafos, the Hafla, writes in a Sefer on Chumash that perhaps an additional reason why we say this during Chodesh Elul is because we know that there are Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim, which is really the highlight of all the Yimei HaSlichos and Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, when we say Slichos. So that really is something that we need to think about. And he says, if you look through this Mizmar in Tehillim, if you look through this parak in Tehillim, you will notice that there are 13 times of Shemos HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are mentioned in this parak in Tehillim. Maybe there are others as well, I don't know, but he says what we're supposed to think about is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim are things that we're supposed to become accustomed with as we come into this season of the year. Rav Asher Weiss once told me a very beautiful insight to explain, in his opinion, what he thought, why we have this custom of saying L'David Hashem Ori during the month of Elul. A very beautiful insight based on a Gemara Maseches Tainis Daf Ches Amud Beis. So the Gemara tells a story that Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni lived in a town, V'havi Kafna Umusna. It was at a time when there was two terrible calamities going on at the same time. Number one, there was a famine. People simply could not survive. There was no food to eat. Number two, there was another problem. There was a fatal epidemic going on. So there was rampant infection and people were dying from that. And at the same time, there was also a famine. So the Gemara says, Amri, everyone got together and they said, look, We have a serious Eis Tzarewin right now. We have a terrible tragedy going on in our community. But what should we do? Should we try to galvanize our efforts to try to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should solve the crisis of famine, of hunger? Or should we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to solve the crisis of people dying? Which one should we ask for? So the Gemara says, Nibai Rachami Atarti, I have an idea. Why don't you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for both? That would sound like a good option. Says the Gemara, no, lo efshar. You cannot ask the Ribono Shel Olam for two things at the same time. Says the Gemara, okay, so what should we do? Maybe we should ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that people should stop dying from the infection, from the epidemic, and we'll have to live with the fact that people are starving. All right, at least we're alive. We may be starving, but at least we're alive. So the Gemara says, no, that doesn't make sense. I have a better idea. The Gemara comes to the conclusion, why don't we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to solve the hunger crisis, and therefore he's going to automatically solve the crisis of death as well. Why? Because the Gemara says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a miracle and give us food, do you think he's going to give food for people who are dead? So obviously by asking for food, it means we're asking for everything. We're asking, don't only save me by giving me food, but once you're going to give me food, of course you want me to live. So that was the idea of the Gemara. Now, this is an interesting Gemara. Why is it that you can't daven for two things? The Gemara brings a proof to it from the end. It's brought from a pasuk in Tanakh. But be it as it may, that is the understanding. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch says, based on this, that you're not allowed to daven for two things. If you have two terrible tragedies going on at the same time, you have to choose which one you're going to pick to ask and negotiate HaKadosh Baruch Hu to solve. Okay, now this should lead us to a major question. And that is, how do we daven Shmona Esrei every day? During Shmona Esrei, we ask for everything. We ask Baruch Aleinu, we want a Parnasa, we want a Refuah, we want a Shidduch, we want Shema Koleinu, we want everything. So what does it mean when we daven Shmona Esrei, and in fact the Gemara says you're not allowed to daven for two different things, in Shmona Esrei we daven for 10 different things. So how do you explain that? So the answer is, the Achronim write, the Poskim write, the Archas Chaim on Shulchan Aruch explains, the answer is, this Gemara is just telling us that when you have two very abnormal, unusual calamities going on, like a famine and a terrible epidemic that people are dying from, when you have two terrible, tremendous events going on, then the Gemara says you have to choose one or the other to daven for. But if it's talking about normal day-to-day life, a person wants a refuah, a person wants a shidduch, a person wants a parnasa, and all the things that are relevant to day-to-day life, in such a case, he writes, there would be no problem at all with mentioning all the different items that we do in the daily Shmona Esrei. Now that's true during a daily Shmona Esrei. And Rav Asher Weiss asks, but that's a problem when we come to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why? Because on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we're not talking about small things. We're not saying, oh, give me this, give me that, and take care of this little problem in my life. We're talking about the big-ticket items. Rosh Hashanah, the whole davening is all about big things. All the slichos, all the bakashas that we make on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are talking about major world events. So how can we do that? How do we have the right to ask for two different things at the same time if the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch clearly say that you're not to do that? And to that he suggested maybe the answer is, this is why we say the Devar Hashem Ori, because we frame everything that we're about to ask for during the coming year. And that is, Acha Sha'alti Me'es Hashem Osa Avakish. What I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for is one thing. My ambition, my goal in life is, Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yomei Chaya. I should live a life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the focal point of my life. Now, in order to do that properly, I need a Shidduch, and I need a Parnasa, and I need a Refuah, and I need to be able to have food to eat, and I need all the other things. But those are all ancillary issues that really boil down to one point, and that is, Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yomei Chaya, Lachazos Benoam Hashem Ulevaker Behechalo. That's all I ask for. And by saying L'David Hashem Ori during this time of the year, it's an opportunity for us to frame our own tefillah and to understand everything we're going to ask for on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur really boils down to this one point, to this one issue, and all that we're going to ask for is really just a detail that comes out of that one issue. So, I thought that that was a very beautiful insight. He writes somewhere else that the Pasuk says in Parshas Chayisara, Vayiyu Chayisara, the lifetime of Sarah was, how long? She lived 127 years, but that's not the way the Pasuk says it. The Pasuk writes, Me'ashana, 100 years, V'esrim Shana, 20 years, V'sheva Shana, and 7 years. That's how old Sarah was. That's not the average way that a person would speak. That's not the regular way, conventional way to say 127 years. 120 and 7, so Rashi there points out that this was written very specifically, deliberately that way. Why? Bas Me'a, Kibas Esrim, Melamed Shekulan Sham in the Tova. When she was 100, she was like 20. When she was 20, she was like 7. All of them are wonderful days. What exactly does that mean? So, we have an interesting medrash where the medrash writes that Rabbi Akiva was giving shir one day. And in the middle of the shir, all of a sudden, his Talmidim started falling asleep. Never had such a thing. His Talmidim were falling asleep in the middle of Shir. So Rabbi Akiva didn't know what to do. He felt that he needed to do something to get their attention. So you know what? He gets up and he says, you know, I'm thinking about it. How is it that Esther HaMalka was able to be the one who was sovereign on top of 127 Sheva Ve'esra Mameya Medinos? How could it be 127 provinces, countries? How is it that she was able to keep track of all that? Just the politics alone, how can you keep track of that? So he said, oh, you know what the answer is? She's a descendant of Sarah Imenu. And Sarah Imenu was 127 years old, and therefore Esther HaMalka knew how to rule over 127 countries. What does that mean? So all of a sudden, all the Talmidim woke up. They said, wow, that's interesting. So how do you understand that? Does that mean Rabbi Akiva, when he saw that people were falling asleep, had to say a joke? He had to say a riddle? Oh, 127 here, 127 there, Xerah Shavah, Gematria, even though they have nothing to do with each other? Obviously not. This is Rabbi Akiva. So what did he mean when he said 127 by Esther HaMalka was really taken from 127 by Sarah Imenu? What's the connection? So Rav Asher Weiss explained as follows. How is it that a person at 127 years old is able to be the same as 20? So he said the answer is, what it means by Sarah Imenu is that Sarah Imenu remained focused. She remained fixated and concentrated on one goal, one aspiration throughout her entire life. And that was to be an Eved Hashem. It didn't matter if she was 100. It didn't matter if she was 20. It didn't matter if she was 7. At every point in her life, Sarah Imenu had one goal. Now, there were different ways to get there at different junctures of life. But everything really got her to the same place. And that was, I have one aspiration. You know, normally, we have different interests throughout life. We have different things that come our way. We have different ambitions as life goes on. I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to be involved in such a thing. I want to go on this vacation. Sarah Imenu throughout life, even though she had different crossroads and different junctures and different stages of life and found herself in a different position, she understood that all of it comes down to one aspiration, and that is to be the greatest Eved Hashem that I can be. Now, it happens to be I'm 100 years old, and I'm not going to be able to do the same youthful things that I did when I was 20. It doesn't matter. But my life is the same. Kulam shavim letova. Every moment of life that I have is good because all of it leads me to that same place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry, Rabbi Akiva tells his Talmidim, how could a person rule over Sheva Ve'esra Mameya Medinos? I can't even keep track of what's going on in my own house with the carpools and the buses and the chats and the things. How is Sarah Imenu able to keep up with Sheva Ve'esra Mameya Medinos? The answer is, if a person remains focused on the goal, and you remain focused your entire life on the aspiration that you have, that you need to do one thing, and keep concentrated on that, then you have no problem. Look at Sarah Imenu. Look what she was able to do in her life. Sheva Ve'esra Mameya Medinos came from that idea that Sarah Imenu implanted into future generations, that you just need to stay focused on the goal. So he suggested that maybe that's what it means in L'David Hashem Ori. Many Mefarshim point out that there's a very strange pasuk here. Acha sha'alti me'es Hashem, osa avakesh. So we talk about acha sha'alti means in the past. Acha sha'alti means I asked in the past, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Osa avakesh means in the present tense. So why is it that the pasuk switches acha sha'alti, what I used to ask for, and osa avakesh is what I ask for now? The answer is that David HaMelech's entire life was osa avakesh acha sha'alti. My whole life is the same. When I was 20 years old and 30 years old, and now that I'm 60 years old and 70 years old, my life is exactly the same. I ask for the same thing every day of my life, and that is shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayai. Just like Sarah Imenu, bas meya kibas Esrim Kibas Sheva, she was the same at every juncture, at every crossroads of her life, and that is what David HaMelech says here as well. Acha sha'alti, what I asked in the past is osa avakesh, it's the same aspiration, the same goal that I have now, even when I was a young child, even now that I'm older, even now that I'm the Melech Yisrael, even now that I'm fighting wars and I'm so powerful, I have the same goal throughout every single experience of my life, and that is shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayai, consistency, an unending, unwavering commitment to be related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting, when you focus on the words of the David Hashem Ori, you'll notice that David HaMelech has Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. It seems very unlikely that David HaMelech would ever be able to do that. Who was David HaMelech? He was the Melech Yisrael. Think about the daily schedule of a president, of a prime minister. What's he doing? So I assume in the morning he wakes up and he gets a daily briefing from the Security Council. And then he has to talk to leaders of other countries and ambassadors from other countries. And he has meetings and people coming to visit him and people negotiating about different things and trying to keep on top of the energy crisis and of global warming and all the different issues that are going on in the world and the economic crisis and the gas prices and all of that and fighting wars at the same time. So David HaMelech, let's get real. I don't understand. You're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you want to go back and sit in the Beis Medrash? You want to sit in Kolo? Then don't be the king. Don't be the king. How did you accept the position of Melech Yisrael And with all of that leadership and all that it entails, and fighting wars and negotiating with world leaders and meeting and going to conferences and speaking all over the place and doing what you have to do, what are you asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? Shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayai? And I think the answer is very simple. David HaMelech asked that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be the focal point of my life, even now where I am today, being the Melech Yisrael, and negotiating with world leaders, and meeting with prime ministers, and going out to fight wars, and doing all the things that a president and a king need to do. David HaMelech's aspiration was HaKadosh Baruch Hu should always be there in the middle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should always be the focus of everything I do in my life. And this is exactly what David HaMelech says when he confronts Goliath. In Sefer Shmuel, we're told, Ata bo elai becherav uvichanis uvikidon. You're coming to fight me with a cherub, with a spear, with a gun, with all this different military equipment. Va'anochi ba'elecha, and I'm coming to you, b'shem Hashem tzvakos alokei ma'arachos Yisrael. You're coming to me with a spear, you're coming to me with a sword, you have your tanks, you have your planes. I'm coming to you with shem Hashem alokei Yisrael. I'm coming to you with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my hand. And that's the way I do everything in my life. This is David HaMelech negotiating with his opponent in war. What are you talking about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is he relevant to this discussion? The answer is, Shifti b'veis Hashem, kol yimei chayai. I can be out in the battlefield, I can be negotiating with world leaders, and I understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there in the room with me, he's there in the tank with me, he's there in the plane with me, he's everywhere with me. And that is what we ask for during Chodesh El. It's an opportunity for us to be reminded that the same way David HaMelech spent his entire life aspiring to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a part of everything he did, so too, that is what we aspire to in our lives. It doesn't mean that we should all sit and learn all day. It doesn't mean we have to give up our jobs and go sit in a kolo. What it means is we should have the opportunity to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in everything we do in our lives. It reminds me of the Chovas HaLevavos where he writes in Shaar Avodas Elokim. He writes, there is no such thing as a power of activity that a Jew ever does. Everything we do, he says, is either bringing us closer to Ratzon Hashem or it's an Avera. Either it's a mitzvah or an Avera. Now, part of my being a healthy Eved Hashem is that I take a vacation, that I air out, that I go on a trip, that I go out with my spouse, that I take care of my children, that I do all kinds of different things. That's part of being Eved Hashem, says the Chovas HaLevavos. Well, that's pushing you in a direction of doing another mitzvah. Again, you can't classify and categorize that as this mitzvah or that, but that's all part of Avodas Hashem. However, says the Chovas HaLevavos, there is no such thing as a Jew just doing something, just stop. I have nothing else to do, so I may as well do this. No. If you have nothing else to do, then you should be doing something productive. And that really is what David HaMelech says, Shifti b'veis Hashem, kol yimei chayai, that every moment of my life, at every juncture, at every experience that I'm privileged to have, I ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu be the focal point of it all. And finally, a comment that I've mentioned so many times, many Mefarshim point out, Shifti b'veis Hashem, kol yimei chayai, I ask the Ribono Shel Olam that I should be a permanent resident, lachazos b'noam Hashem ulevaker b'heichalo. I ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treat me like a guest, levaker beheichalo, like I'm visiting for the first time. So a couple of weeks ago, I was in the White House for a meeting, and there we were, a group of us were being shown a bunch of different offices, different rooms, and they were showing us different kinds of things that were going on. And we were so curious. We're not there every day. We don't work there. So we're looking and we're asking, well, what's in that room? And what's happening here? And what's this desk for? And what happens in this room? And what's this big table? What are those screens all about? We have a great interest, and it so happened that the people who were with us, who we were meeting with, actually had no idea. They're there every day. This is their office. This is where they work. And they're not interested. It doesn't really excite them because this is just the same office that they go to every day. It's not something that's interesting to them because it's something they're so familiar with. Now, to an outsider, to a visitor, everything you see is exciting because it's all new to you. That's what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayai. I want to be a person who is a permanent resident of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home every day of my life. This is where I should feel most comfortable. This is where I should feel I'm in my element. This is where I should feel I have the embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's a danger in that. Coming to David in a shul three times a day, coming to a Beis Medrash to learn, coming to a shir, being engaged with Torah Hashem is something that is beautiful, but the problem is that I no longer feel the excitement of that experience. And that's why I ask the double request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to be the one who is Shifti B'Veis Hashem, who has a job in the White House, who has a job in the exciting place where I belong. But at the same time, I want to always have that euphoric feeling of Levaker Beheichalo, that it should be something that is new, that is fresh, that is exciting, that is overwhelming to me, because it's something that I should look at as if it's a new perspective every time I have the opportunity to engage in it. And that is a tremendous bakasha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's something that we all ask for. This is really what the Ribono Shel Olam talks about when the Psukim say, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'hayaki v'yachal ha'aretz, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us to the land of Eretz Yisrael, unesan alach, and he will give it to you. And the Medrash there comments, what does it mean, unesan alach? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings you to the land, of course he's giving it to you. What does it mean, unesan alach, at the end of the Pasuk? Writes the Medrash, what it means is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you to the land, and you will live in Eretz Yisrael. But that's a major danger. Living in Eretz Yisrael is something that is so beautiful, it's so exciting, but the problem is, you feel a sense of excitement when you first get there, but then it wears off, because this is my community, this is where I live, I take it for granted. And the answer is, unesan alach. You have to look at Eretz Yisrael, ki ilu hayom nesun alach, writes the Medrash. You have to view the gift of Eretz Yisrael as if today is the first time I'm engaging in this incredible experience of what it means to be in Eretz Yisrael. You remember the first time your children were brought to Eretz Yisrael? How excited they were. And before, weeks in advance, they were talking about it, and they were just over the moon. Couldn't get over the experience of what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and how we're going to get around and where we're going to visit and what are the things we're going to do and every single little thing they're taking pictures of. And now you go there and it's not so exciting. Why? Because we've been there so many times. Levakar beheichalo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we ask that our experience connecting with Eretz Yisrael should be the same. Unesan alach, that it should be a constant and consistent feeling of newness, of freshness, as if this is the first time that we are engaging in this very special experience. And that is really something that I've mentioned in the past as well from the Piazetzner Rebbe. The Piazetzner Rebbe has a beautiful confession. In his Sefer Tzavaziras, he writes, Ribono Shel Olam, ma'uchal teis lecha. What can I give you? I've lived my life, and I feel very successful in the life that I've lived. Lilmod, he says, do I have any qualms about how much I learned throughout the experience of life? No. Hariani lomed b'chol kochi. I've given you my all. Lihispalo, do I have any reservations about the way that I daven to you? No. Hariani mispalo b'chol kochi. I'm an Eben Hashem. I come to daven every day. I daven with kavana. I feel I did my best. So I have no reservations at all. I have no regrets about the way I davened or the way I learned. So is there anything in life that I would like to do over if I had the opportunity to do so? And he says, yes. Rotza anila hisgayer. The only thing that I wish I could do is come back into the world as a convert. I was born into a Jewish family. I was born into a family where they gave me the values, and therefore I lack a sense of appreciation of how lucky I am. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu. I don't appreciate it as much as a bal tshuva or a ger who comes to shul for the first time, holds a sitter with such euphoria, such excitement. It's not a feeling that I have. Writes the Piazetzner Rebbe, if I had the opportunity to do anything over in life differently, that's what I would ask for. Rotza anila hisgayer, I want to come back to the world as a convert. I want to come to this understanding and appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on my own, to be able to really have that sense of understanding of what it is to be engaged with the Ribono Shel Olam in a real relationship. And this is what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for during Chodesh Elul. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai. We ask that the focal point of all of our lives should be in whatever it is that we're doing, in whatever endeavor we are engaged in, that it should always be something that is generated around HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everything we do should have the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it, and He should always be comfortable in everything we are involved with. But at the same time, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Levaker Beheichalo, that we should always feel as if we are a visitor, as if we are here for the first time, as if this is something that is so excitingly overwhelming for us. And that really is a tremendous bakasha, and it frames so much of what we look forward to in the coming year. So, Mirtz Hashem,